Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, we thank you. We thank you for this place where we find sanctuary. We thank you for all of the ways that you lift us up, that you hold us in your loving arms. Amen. In the psalm that we heard this morning, we have this image of a forgiving God who loves us, a God who redeems us and heals us. And in that is also the image of the sanctuary. Not only within these walls, but a sanctuary that is described as the pastures of wilderness that overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together with joy. Isn't that also what we do here in the sanctuary? We shout and sing together with joy. This sanctuary, as Ray mentioned in the announcements, looked very different 24 hours ago. Right? Who was here? Who came by at some point any time in the last week? A lot of us. This place looked very different because of the hands of volunteers, because of those who donated items, all of this so that we can support our church. It is good for us to hold up our accomplishments. It is good for us to be proud of what we have done. Richard Skinner, who has done an amazing job with yard sale after yard sale. Yes, give him a hand. And of course, his partner, Ross Scudder, who is a deacon and involved in everything at the church. Yes, please. These are people who help make this a sanctuary. So many of us in this space work all the time, constantly, to make this a sanctuary. Not literally just by setting up the chairs, although you should have seen us yesterday trying to get the chairs in the perfect angle and the perfect... So that's part of making a sanctuary. But what really makes a sanctuary is what we do for each other. How we work together for a common good that impacts all of us. So let's go to Luke's gospel. This parable that we heard today about the Pharisee and the tax collector. So the Pharisee is there and is pretty proud of the good things he's done. There's nothing wrong with that. And often when we hear Pharisee, we think because the Pharisee is often held up as an example of like those who are sticking to the law and those who are not hearing the message of Christ. But it doesn't mean that the Pharisee is necessarily a bad character in the text. But we have this description of a Pharisee who is holy and good and so think about your own lives. I'm sure that all of us here do 100%, 110% of our best every moment of every day, right? We get up in the morning. We all go to the gym first thing, right? Yeah. We eat a healthy breakfast. Yeah. We get on our computer. We log into all of our favorite charities and give money. Not just MCC Tampa, but, you know, all the others as well. We remember to write handwritten thank you notes. We do all of these things, right, all of us? Right. We don't. We wish we did. We have that ideal to set up that we could do these things. So when I hear the Pharisee who's saying, I do these things, I do everything I'm supposed to be doing and more. And even his Pharisee buddies are like, okay, that's a bit much. What's behind that? What's behind that experience of saying all the things that he does? What insecurity is he carrying? So then we have our tax collector. Now also, I know that no one in this space would have ever done such a thing. But some people are inclined, when they're feeling slightly insecure, to look around and find someone else and say, at least I'm not like this person. Right? We don't do that. Okay, maybe I'll admit, maybe sometimes I do that. I'm like, well, I'm not, you know, at least I didn't do what that person did. So why is the tax collector the person who again and again and again in Scripture is talked about as kind of the ultimate wrongdoer? Because it's not just and don't worry if any of you actually work for the IRS, we're not attacking you. It's that the tax collectors in this time tended to be violent. They tended to take much more than what they were supposed to take. This is how they made their living. As tax collectors, they took more than they were entitled to, and they pocketed that, and they put people into situations where they could not survive. Tax collectors were really not popular. So this idea of, like, I may be a mess, but at least I'm not the tax collector. Sometimes we do these things, maybe some of us, bring our not best behavior to church. Sometimes we step into this space that is our sanctuary and we forget that it is sanctuary, the meaning of sanctuary, the place where we can come and be healed and whole. And wholeness doesn't mean that we're not also broken at the same time. This is a both and situation. When we come into the sanctuary, we recognize that faith is collective. It's not just what I do. It's not just what you do. It is what we do together. And some people give and give and give. And some people have the capacity to give more than others. And others show up one time to volunteer, and it is scary and intimidating. And let me tell you, if you were a volunteer at the yard sale, you know there's like so much chaos and so many people. And if you, I feel bad for anyone who accidentally just wore a red shirt that day, because everyone on the yard sale is wearing the red shirts, and you know people come, can I have this for 25 cents instead of 30 cents? And you're like, I don't know, can I make that decision? It's intimidating to volunteer. It's intimidating to put yourself out there. Sometimes we show up to do things for our church and we don't know what we're doing, even the pastor, even right now. No, just kidding. So it is a complicated balance, right? We hold one another in this space of we are in constant need, right? We're always asking you for money. We're always asking you to help. And in the asking, we're asking you to create sanctuary. One of the other ways that we create this space as our sanctuary is we acknowledge this tricky language around sin. Sometimes we don't like to talk about sin because it's like uncomfortable, because so many of us have been told that we're sinners for things that are not actually sinful. But we also, as a church, as a family, have an amazing ability, if we do it right, to bring transformation into each other's lives. And when we do the wrong thing and we do make mistakes, when we make the wrong decisions, when we don't serve justice, when we don't make others feel welcome, we have the ability to bring healing and wholeness into not just this room, but into all of our lives as we leave this place. This parable is helpful because it gives these extremes. And I don't think that any of us are just one or the other of these two. There are times that we are a little bit of each. And this isn't to say that we shouldn't be proud of our accomplishments, When we do the right thing, when we serve community, when we live into the calling that God puts into our lives, we should be proud of ourselves, right? That doesn't mean that we're behaving like this Pharisee. It's always hard when I call someone up or text them and say, so you've been nominated for Volunteer of the Month, and they try to turn it away. Because we have a belief in our culture that being humble, that living in humility, means that we can't be celebrated. And I would love to turn that idea on its head. Because let me tell you, and I'm looking out and I'm seeing so many people who volunteer. When you volunteer, it is amazing. And when you let us celebrate what you do, you are an inspiration to others. You are experiencing and living and walking into that love of God. And if you're scared to volunteer because you're scared I'm going to make you stand up here and I'll pray for you, don't worry. We can celebrate you in lots of ways. There are times that we fall short and our church can lift us up. And there are times that we are soaring and doing amazing things. And guess what? That doesn't mean that we're leaving our church behind. That means that we have the power, again, to lift up others. We have a fresh start with new board members. We've got some board members who are continuing on. That is a big yes, right? That is a big calling to serve on the board. That is a big responsibility to hold this sanctuary, this sacred community. And yesterday at our board training, one of the things that we said was that we feel like we are at this watershed moment where change is happening in a really positive way. And this past week in our worship planning meeting, the same thing was said in a different group of people, that it feels like there is a positive, powerful Holy Spirit shift that is happening. And for the last few years, we've had about as many applicants or fewer applicants than there are spots for the board. And I have a feeling that a year from now, the running for the board will be scary, not just because it's a big responsibility, but because there's going to be more people running than there are spots. Because as this change continues, Deb's back there clapping away. As this change and this shift continues, and as we continue to make this space our sanctuary, change is coming. And that doesn't mean that the things that are familiar and make it feel safe are going to be gone. It means that the Spirit is moving, right? The Spirit is moving. That this is the place again and again that we can return to, lifting each other up. So like, if you identify with the tax collector, the person who's being, you know, held up as the, at least I'm not like him, example, I have to look over my shoulder and make sure there wasn't actually someone sitting there as I keep pointing that direction. Think about, why did the tax collector even have this job? We don't know. We don't know what circumstances in his life happened that made him take this on as the role that he had. We don't know if maybe he's the one tax collector that doesn't steal from others. We don't know what the hard work he does for the community. All we know is that he lives in this place of deep shame, so deep that he can't even lift his eyes in prayer. And we know that he does, in fact, pray. He prays for mercy. And don't we all know about the feeling of shame? If you have never felt shame in your life, then you are very rare. We know shame. We know shame that has made us feel like we don't want to come to church. We know shame that has made us leave jobs and leave relationships, maybe even leave town. We know what shame feels like, not because we are, you know, particularly bad people. It's that because we're people. What would it be like if even the tax collectors discovered sanctuary? What if we could be the safe place where people who truly want transformation in their lives know that they can come? I don't know if you've noticed, but Jesus often hangs out with like super broken people, the people who are discriminated against. And Jesus' message is one of hope. Not hope because like just chill with Jesus and things get easier. Unfortunately, it's not that easy. The message of hope is that we can change. We can change whenever we have those things, whatever they are in our lives, that make us feel in our hearts that we are separated from God. We don't have to pretend that we're pious and holy all the time. We can show up. We are all a work in progress. We can be in this place of wholeness because we can be whole and broken at the same time. So whether we see ourselves as the Pharisee or the tax collector, this is our home. This is our sanctuary. This is the place where we rejoice in God's love. And when we stumble and fall, it's okay. Because we have that hope in Jesus. Because Christ has taught us that we can do better. Christ has taught us that we can be transformed. Christ has called all of us. What an amazing blessing that we can offer this world. Wholeness. So many of us have come to accept our feelings of inadequacy that we think that it's a part of who we are. And that's just not how it is. It might feel that way, but that is not how it is. Don't let people lie to you. Don't let people tell you you're not good enough. Don't let people tell you don't belong. And don't let anyone ever convince you that you do not have a place that is your sanctuary. I love this room. I love this space. I love that we don't have pews, that we've got chairs, and as much as I do not like stacking those chairs, I love that they exist and that we can stack them. I love it because it is ours. We are so lucky. We are so blessed. So let's continue to transform this space, and sometimes we transform it by putting tables with a bunch of stuff on and selling it to our neighbors. And sometimes we transform it by having bingo night, and sometimes we transform it by having workshops and events. But let's not forget that every Sunday we are transformed in this space, because that is what we are called to by Christ. Amen.